Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. Thank you so much for joining us today. First half of the show, we had a great discussion about cancel culture and our monuments, and also about the Protect Human Life at Conception Act that is currently being proposed in Florida as an amendment to our Constitution. I was reading an article from CBS News about this particular proposal, this amendment. It needs 891,589 petition signatures to get on the 2024 ballot, and then it will need approval from at least 60% of voters to get it done. Again, 2 very high hurdles, but it's not impossible. And I believe it is something that we must get done in the state of Florida to protect the preborn. This proposal would include an exception for undertaking of life-saving procedures to save the life of the mother when accompanied by, both must be there, reasonable steps to save the life of the preborn individual. The proposal would establish a constitutional right that would say the right to life of the preborn individual is God-given, thus uninalienable and recognized accordingly. Therefore, it shall not be infringed at any stage of development. The proposal is titled the Human Life Protection Amendment, and it comes after the U.S. Supreme Court in June overturned the decades-old Roe v. Wade abortion rights decision. It also comes amid a legal battle about a new Florida law that would prevent abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. That law, ladies and gentlemen, was signed by Governor DeSantis earlier this year after passing the House and the Senate, a state House and state Senate, largely along party lines. Republicans voted for it, Democrats voted against it, and it was signed into law. It essentially says that once a mother is 15 weeks pregnant, that baby cannot be murdered in the womb. And let's use the right terminology, ladies and gentlemen. Oftentimes they'll call it abortion, pro-abortion. It is actually murdering that child in the womb. And currently is being done 2 ways. The most prominent way nowadays is a chemical abortion. Over 54% of abortions in Florida are done chemically. That's where a woman will take a pill, and what that pill does is it prevents the baby from being fed. Essentially, the baby starves to death. It then dies, and there's a miscarriage. The baby comes out. That's one way of murdering the baby. Imagine being starved to death. and saying that that is humane. It's horrific. And then the other way is where they will crush the baby's skull in the mother's womb and then tear the baby apart limb by limb out of the mother's womb until there's nothing left there. Again, a horrific way to die. It's terrible. It's barbaric. And to think that there are people who are yelling and screaming vehemently that they have a right to do that. You do not have a right to kill what God has created, regardless of his position. If that baby, innocent baby, is in the womb, or that innocent baby is in your bedroom, you don't have a right to privacy to kill that baby. Its position in the womb means it is still a person. It is a person that should be protected. So what happens then if the mother does do this or the doctor does it? What should be the repercussions for it? I would answer that with this question. What are the repercussions for murder? What are repercussions for someone who is an accomplice to murder? What should happen then? That is exactly what should happen when you murder that baby in the womb. So when this petition, which is going to be circulated, gets to your area, please, please, ladies and gentlemen, not only should you sign a petition, but get your neighbors, get your church, everyone to sign it, turn it back in, so that we can get enough petitions to get this on a ballot, because I do not think we are going to get the support from Republican-led current leadership to protect that preborn baby. They think they did something with that 15-week ban, but actually they did not. Currently, there are over 80,000 babies a year who are murdered in the womb in Florida. Imagine Florida State University's football stadium full. That's how many babies are murdered each year in the state of Florida. And that number is growing because the Florida is now becoming a destination state in the Southeast for those who want to have an abortion, because the states surrounding us have stricter abortion rights. 15 weeks doesn't do very much. It only saves around 5,000 lives a year of those 80,000 plus who are being murdered. Why is that? Because most abortions are done before 15 weeks. They're done way before then. And if you think about 15 weeks, that's 1 week short of 16 weeks, which is how many months? That's 4 months. Do you know what a woman at 4 months looks like when she is pregnant? You can see her stomach protruding. You know that there's a baby in there. So you're telling me it's okay now to go in there and pull that baby apart limb by limb, crush its skull, and remove it from that mother's womb and call that a constitutional right? I don't think so. We need to call it what it is. It's murder, pure and simple. Speaking of murder, let's go on to another topic, and that is these COVID-19 jabs. I won't even call them a vaccine, because vaccines go through a procedure before they can be used on humans. And that takes time. It takes many years for that vaccine to be developed, because it has to go through trials and tests before it can get done. Now, when COVID was raging through our nation and around the world, and people were reacting just hysterically, the reaction did not need to be there that was there. The lockdowns, the mask, and all that. We are now hearing from the CDC and other health organizations that not only were the lockdowns and the mask and the distancing of 6 feet was unnecessary, it was also ineffective. And by the way, these emergency use jabs, they are also ineffective. They are not working. People are having to get or taking this jab 3-4 times and boosters and are still getting sick. So it shows that it's not working. After the first jab and you can still get sick, it doesn't work. But the worst part about it are the adverse side effects from this. There's enough data out there that anyone can find this and can see for themselves what is happening, not only in the United States, but around the world. We are seeing young men who are having horrific heart conditions after taking the jab. We are seeing members in our military who not only are seeing terrible heart conditions, but we're seeing that it is affecting their ability to reproduce in both men and women. It is horrible what we are seeing. And here's an article that was written just recently, in fact, August 28th. And it shows that we're talking about data out of Israel. Israel was Pfizer's petri dish. Because recall, Israel was so adamant about getting its entire population vaccinated. Israel, Australia, New Zealand, they did draconian measures to get their population vaccinated. And it looks like we have a caller on the line, Kenneth. Kenneth, go ahead with your comment or your question, please.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Kenneth. But what is your comment or question?
Okay, about the statues, like they said, those that learn from that history are doomed to repeat it. And I have a shirt on right now called SOS, Save Our Students, because it's ridiculous what they're doing in these schools, and they need to get those books out. I think they're like, what, one-third or less percent of the population, but they're trying to dominate us to do their will and trying to get our children to do the same thing. And I'm not with it.
Kenneth, you are absolutely right. Thank you for calling in and thank you for your comment. That's right. We do need to our schools, but what I would offer to listeners is if you are able to get your children out of these government-run schools. Homeschool your children. Send them to private schools, charter schools, internet schools. And you have many avenues in Florida to be able to do that. And I know in other places also. I know that the state of Arizona most recently said that they would give the money to the parents to choose where their child can go to school. That means that the money is following the child and not the school. And that's the way it should be done. We should do that in Florida also. Kenneth, thank you for calling. If anyone would like to call in and join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. Now, back to this death vaccination, which we are seeing. People are actually dying after receiving these COVID jabs. And Israel, because it was so draconian in forcing its population to take the vax, we are seeing numbers that are coming out of Israel right now. Israel is now first to express the true bio-Holocaust nature of the death vax program that every other highly injected nation is also careening towards. Why would I say that? 2020 was a year of the pandemic, and 2021 was a year of the death vax, and 2022 is a year of the boosters. What we are seeing that total deaths in Israel because of these vaccinations have increased dramatically. We see that in 2020, deaths from vaccines were at 27,000. In 2021, it grew to 29,500. And so far in 2022, just up until July, it's already 31,631. That is insane that this vaccination, they want to call it that, that this death jab is causing that many deaths and also other adverse side effects, and people are still taking it. That this Biden cabal, this regime, is still telling people to get vaccinated. That in our military, they are still forcing vaccination, though there has been pushback. And those in the military are now being able to resist taking that jab. I read recently that a flight surgeon in the U.S. Army has grounded pilots from flying because after they take the vaccination, their adverse effects that they are feeling, including heart conditions. And so she, anyone who has had the vaccination, she's not allowing to fly. Right here in Pensacola, we have what is called Whiting Field, which does a lot of training for all the military branches. And just recently, a Marine pilot, instructor pilot, was grounded because he refused to take the vaccination. This is a Marine pilot who was decorated because of his work that he has done, not only as an instructor pilot, but as a Marine. And because he refused to take the jab, they grounded him, would not allow him to continue teaching those instructor pilots, even though it is being documented in the military now. Those who are taking that jab are feeling adverse effects, including heart conditions and other conditions. So this death jab in Israel is proving to be just that. And mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see that same trend happening not only in the United States, but in other nations which were so adamant about these death jabs. By the way, if there's anyone in the Florida legislature listening, or ladies and gentlemen, contact your state senator or state representative and let them know that the Florida statute must be changed. There is right now in a Florida statute a provision which says that the Florida Surgeon General can force individuals to not only be quarantined, but also forced to take a vaccination if this Surgeon General deems it is appropriate to do. That is unconscionable. We need to change that Florida statute, and we need to change it as quickly as possible. Thank goodness we have a conservative who is currently in that position, but that may not always be the case. And should we get a leftist in there, a Democrat, there's no telling what they will do, because we have seen them in action in other areas where they will go beyond the pale and try to enforce that statute. So it needs to be repealed and as quickly as possible. Okay, let's go to another topic. Let's go to gun rights. And if anyone would like to join in the discussion, the number is 904-831-0917. Okay, so Nikki Fried, who just recently lost her challenge to be a Democrat nominee for governor, thank goodness she didn't win that. But I had kind of hoped that she would, because she would have been easier to beat than Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist is a seasoned, sleazy politician who is now going to be running against Governor DeSantis. He knows how to campaign. He knows how to politic. And that's going to be not a cakewalk for Governor DeSantis, though I do believe he is still going to win in November. It won't be easy beating Charlie Crist. But this was Nikki Fried, who is the only Democrat among Florida's statewide elected officials who was an unlikely champion of the Second Amendment. But as Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs, Freed oversees medical marijuana and concealed carry permits, both of which are affected by a federal law that prohibits cannabis consumers from owning guns. That ban, Freed argues, in a federal lawsuit she filed in April, is illegal and unconstitutional. Now, that ban on being able to own firearms from the federal government is illegal and unconstitutional, and Nikki Freed is right. However, she filed this lawsuit purely for political reasons. It's while she was campaigning at the time to be the Democrat nominee for governor, and so she filed it for the wrong reasons, even though she was correct. This article, which was written in Reason magazine by a Jacob Solomon, quotes Nikki Freed as saying, "I'm suing the Biden administration because people's rights are being limited," Freed announced on Twitter. "Medical marijuana is legal. Guns are legal. This is about people's rights and their freedoms to responsibly have both." She's such a hypocrite. I know for a fact that she was preventing people from purchasing weapons intentionally while she is the ag commissioner. And what she would do is, because of an unconstitutional law that was passed shortly after the Parkland shooting, that was proposed by a Republican Speaker of the House, Republican Senate President, passed very narrowly, only by one vote over in the Senate, and signed into law by that time Governor Rick Scott, a very unconstitutional law that, for one, gave us red flag laws, said that young men and women, adults between the ages of 18 and 20, could not purchase a weapon, which, by the way, a judge ruled in the state of Texas that that is unconstitutional, and it needs to be reversed. The red flag laws need to be reversed, but there was also a three-day waiting period when you go purchase a weapon that you have to get approval from the Ag Commissioner's Office, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, before you can purchase your weapon. And what Nikki Freed did intentionally, this is why I call her a hypocrite, is she was taking much longer than 3 days to approve those requests to purchase a weapon, which, by the way, is unconstitutional. You shouldn't have to ask the government to permission or pay a tax in order to purchase a weapon. We have a constitutional right. We have a God-given right to own a weapon to protect ourselves, our family, and our property. So Nikki Freed is suing the Biden administration because she is saying that people's rights are limited. What she wants instead is for medical marijuana to not be the reason why people aren't able to purchase a firearm. As dangerous as medical marijuana is. Now, when I was in the House, I voted to approve medical marijuana. At that time, it was for CBD oil, which has very little to not at all any THC in it, which causes the euphoria. But what I saw with medical documentation is that there were those, for example, children who had intractable epilepsy. They were having seizures over 300 times a day, that when they were given this CBD oil coming from the marijuana plant, that their seizures stopped. So I saw that as a very good thing. However, that law has been changed. It was pushed by Governor DeSantis to be able to sell not just in oil form, but smokable marijuana. medical marijuana, which I believe is just a slippery slope going towards wanting to approve recreational marijuana. Okay, so back to the article. Nikki Fried argues that the ban on gun possession by marijuana users violates a congressional spending rider that bars the Justice Department from interfering with state medical marijuana programs. Florida, where voters approved medical use of cannabis in 2016, is one of 37 states with such programs. So Fried is asking the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Florida for an injunction barring federal officials from enforcing the gun restrictions against state medical marijuana patients. What she should also be doing is removing any restrictions for law-abiding citizens to be able to purchase weapons. Now, under current law, cannabis consumers who receive or possess firearms are committing a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and that's what she wants to overturn. I'm all for her wanting to overturn that. However, again, it's for the wrong reason. She's doing it because, one, it was political. She was running for office. And two, because she wants medical marijuana to be more easily accessible so that then the next step is they want recreational marijuana in Florida, which would be a disaster, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is look at other states where recreational marijuana is legal and see the horror show that it has turned into, such as in Colorado. That state is reeling right now from the effects of what they have done. We also see it in New York and in California. All of these blue states, these Democrat-run states, are moving the United States in the wrong direction. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my honor and privilege to sit in for Dr. Youngblood for the show, Let's Face the Issue today. This is Mike Hill. I want to encourage you to make sure you go out and vote in the general election in November. If the church, the body of the living God, would rise up and go vote, we can save this state and save this nation. But you must take that act. Get up off the couch and go vote. The church of the living God. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. But let the righteous be glad. Again, this is Mike Hill signing off. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.